Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heavenbound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus. This is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. The Manasseh mistake, Roger, is what you took us to on Sunday morning.
Isn't that a neat expression? I just love that. You know, Manasseh was one of the kings of Judah, and his story is told to us in the book of 2 Kings. And one of the things we see right off the bat is the Bible is not a fairy tale and everyone lives happily ever after. Manasseh reigned longer than David, reigned longer than Solomon. He reigned for 55 years, but he just was terrible in what he did. He built idols. He just totally took the nation of God as far away from God as they could be. And what we notice as we looked at that, because there's a lot of kings throughout Israel and Judah's history that were bad, but with Manasseh, his major mistake was the home he grew up in. His father was Hezekiah, the great reformer. Hezekiah was the one who tore down idols. Hezekiah was the one who got restored the worship the way it should have been. And so you grew up in a home where there's prayer, godliness, good examples, and you just do the opposite. And so as we kind of stretch that lesson of Manasseh's mistake, what we talked about is he had such a huge advantage, more than a lot of people did, to grow up in a home like that. He could have just done great things for the Lord, and he just blew that opportunity. And we made parallels to us. We think about some of our homes today where we grow up with a godly mother and father. What an advantage that is. What a heads up that is for all of us. We talk about that idea of some of the things that come about us, all the advantages that you're in a congregation that's doing things and all these tools and all these resources. It's just a wonderful, wonderful advantage. But sometimes we follow Manasseh. And we make mistakes.
Yeah, I liked how you summarized just briefly what was before Manasseh. There was a great example, but he didn't follow it. And you took us back to Ezekiel, that foundational principle that each one of us, each generation, each individual, we can be surrounded by great examples, and those are wonderful advantages, wonderful blessings. They can be launching pads for us, but we're going to make the choice as to whether or not we follow those examples. Manasseh had the way of God made clear for him. But he ignored it. Well, you know, I can grow up in a local church where the way of God is taught and preached and modeled, but I'm going to make the choice whether or not I'm going to respect that, right? And you even drew out how so much of the hard work of reforming, tearing down what had been dishonorable to God, that had been done, and reinstituting things that God had wanted to be in place all along, that had been done. But Manasseh, he didn't appreciate it. He certainly didn't follow that good example of his father Hezekiah, and it had a devastating impact on the nation long after him. If you missed any of that, if you weren't able to watch or to listen to that Manasseh mistake sermon, I would certainly encourage you to go to charlestownroad.org. You can watch or listen. It was a great exploration of an Old Testament example and showing just how relevant. Like you said, Roger, this isn't a fairy tale. It is human history, and it is not something that we have outgrown. I thought another little box in your interactive outline would be helpful maybe for us in the middle of the week, just to dig a little deeper and to think through. You framed this as the advantage to your children, and certainly we can look at this from the standpoint of the home, but I think maybe here in the middle of the week, even beyond the walls of our home, many of us are spending time in school, spending time at work, spending time in the community. the advantage that we are, the blessing we are, maybe we could think of it from the standpoint of a bridge or a link in a chain. There are lots of ways to look at this, but you gave us three things to think about. Number one, people see that faith is real and it's important. Number two, they see that fellowship is important. And number three, they see that our Father is important. And so let's just dig a little deeper there. Here is somebody who's maybe listening to us on the way to work or after work. They're mowing the grass and they're thinking about what the rest of this week has. What are some ways that I can show my faith is real and it is important to me?
And what we need to appreciate about that is faith is action. Faith is shown. And so it's not just something I believe, but it's never comes out of me. Faith comes out of you. And so among your coworkers, among your fellow students, it's going to be shown in how you behave, how you treat others, and your attitude and such things. Let me take us to a Hebrew passage, Hebrews chapter 11, where it talks about Moses here. And we remember in this great chapter of Hebrews 11, where we sometimes call it the walk of fame or God's heroes, the dominant expression over and over is by faith. We got by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, just over and over this is repeated. So we get down to verse 24 of Hebrews 11. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure the ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. Now right there is a series of action words that helps us understand what faith is. By faith Moses refused. Sometimes that's what faith is. That's how you show it, by refusing to participate in things that are wrong, refusing to pass on gossip and such things. By faith, Moses chose rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. By faith is demonstrated by making the right choices. I choose to bow my head and say thank you to my God. I choose to find kind words. I choose to be helpful to somebody. By faith, it says in this passage, he was considering the reproaches. So faith is considering. It's considering the now and the hereafter. It's considering the present and the future. It's considering the material and the spiritual. By faith, it says he was looking. By faith, he left. By faith, he endured. All those action words describe to us that faith is something that's demonstrated, something that's action. So how is faith real? My family sees it. I'm living it every day. God comes up in my conversations. I'm one who is trying to do what's right. I'm living by the golden rule. My coworkers notice that I'm acting differently than they do. Not that I'm better than they are, but I got Jesus in my heart. And they see that this is not something I'm doing for pretense. I'm not putting on a show here. This is who I am. Whether I'm by myself, whether I'm in a group of people, whether it's at a ball game or I'm at work, I'm the same way. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to do something to hurt someone else, because that's not what God wants me to do.
It's what James describes in James chapter 2 as showing our faith by our works, right? And what a powerful thing to think about here in the middle of the week. I can claim to be a person of faith. I can even be engaged over the weekend in some faith-filled activities, but if I'm not showing my faith by my works on an ordinary Wednesday, by the way I conduct myself in the workplace, there's a very real possibility that when I talk about my faith, it's not going to be taken very seriously, because I'm not acting as if my faith is real.
So here's a story I got to tell you.
Okay.
So there was this man, a businessman, late for work. He had his briefcase open in his front seat of his car. He's on his cell phone, came to an intersection. A lady in front of him was not really paying attention. The light turned green. He beeped his horn. She still didn't get it. He beeped his horn louder. He pounded on his car. he just blew the horn real loud. About the time she noticed that the light was going from yellow to red, she made it through and he didn't. And he was just so upset. He started pounding his car, and there was a police car behind him. Put on the red lights, pulled the guy over, had the guy get out, put him in handcuffs, and went through all the registration and everything. And the policeman said, when I saw your bumper stickers that says Jesus and meet you at church, and I saw the way you were acting, I thought for sure you stole that car. Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
It does.
Makes you wonder.
Absolutely. We need to live as if faith is real. And it is important, not just on the weekend, not just going through religious motions. This is who we are. And that leads us to number two. Okay, an advantage that we can be, a blessing that we can be to others, a bridge that we can build, showing that fellowship is important. How do we do that?
Well, sometimes we think fellowship is what I get. So I come into a congregation and they become my church family, and I get this from them and I get this from them, rather than realizing that fellowship really is a bridge, and we have to both go over the same bridge. And so fellowship is helping each other. It begins, first of all, by our attendance. You got to be there. You can't fellowship by just watching a TV set. You can't fellowship by just listening to podcasts. Podcast has a place, but it's not fellowship. Fellowship is that intermingling with people. It's the smiles. It's the hugs. It's the seeing each other. It's caring for each other. And so how that's important is when I'm home and I'm not with my church family, I'm going to be thinking about those who are having surgery, those who are going through tough times, those who just buried loved ones. And I'm going to say their names in my prayer. And my family's going to hear those things. But when I'm with them, I'm going to be glad to see them. These are the best people on the face of the earth. These are God's people. And what a blessing to be in a church like that, where people are there to encourage you and help you, and you can do the same for them. And so postage stamps have gone up, I've heard. Doesn't matter. I'm going to still send a card to somebody. Why? Because they're down, or they've just had surgery, or they need some help. I'm going to be calling some people. I'm going to be sending some emails, sending some texts, reaching out, because I'm connecting with a family that I am really involved with. That's my church family. Fellowship is important. We sometimes throughout the week may feel like we're on a deserted island and it's only us. Everybody I know, everybody at work, everybody in the neighborhood, nobody follows the Lord but me. But we get around this fellowship and we said, oh yeah, look at all these people. Look at all these people. And they help us, and we need to see that.
Yeah, like you use the word connecting. Fellowship is participating in something together, right? It begins, of course, with our relationship with God. I can't say that I am in fellowship with God if He's in the light and I'm in the dark. It starts with that participating with God, and that leads me into participating with the people of God. Fellowship isn't spectating. It's not just watching everybody else, and it's certainly not just consuming. It is participating together, inside and outside of the walls of this church building, right? This evening, 7 p.m., we're looking forward to an opportunity where all sorts of different ages can gather together, talk about the Bible, discuss the Bible, connect together around the Bible. But of course, those connections need to be a daily part of our lives, and will be if faith is real and it's important to us. So faith is real. Fellowship is important. Really, all of this revolves around your third point. A blessing that we can be to the people around us this week, a bridge that we can be, another link in this chain, is showing that our Father is most important of all.
And that's the hub of our faith. It's not the church, it's God. And so I do these things not because my church tells me I have to do these things. I do these things because this is the way my Lord wants me to live. This is the best life. He has laid out the best path that leads to heaven. And so I choose to follow him. And so I choose to talk a certain way. I choose to have a certain attitude. Not because I have to. I really don't want to, but I have to. It's because I want to do these things because this pleases my Father. And so people will hear you talk about that. People will say, isn't this a nice fall day? You add a couple other words. Isn't this a nice fall day that God has made? Always you're remembering God before us. And one of the best ways we reflect this is how we refer to God. Jesus would tell us in Matthew 6, as he kind of introduced how to pray, pray this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed or holy is your name. The Lord's name is taken blasphemous almost every single day. We don't do that. We honor God's name. We respect God's name because of who he is and what he is. And that's important for us to realize that.
Yeah. Jesus not only taught his disciples how to pray, how many times did he model that, right? If somehow we were able to stop Peter or Andrew or James or John on the side of the road and ask them, how do you know that the Father is important to your teacher, Jesus? I've got to believe one of the first things out of their mouths is, let us tell you how many times we woke up and had to find him because he was off early in the morning or late at night spending time in prayer.
Absolutely. Let me tell you another story. I just got stories today. I don't know why, but
That's great.
One of my dear friends, Dee Bowman, great, great gospel preacher, passed away just real recently. But back in the 1950s, he and his two brothers had a little singing group. They sang backup to the great Buddy Holly, and they were starting to explode with a contract themselves. They were soon to be a big thing about to happen, and they were in Lubbock, Texas, and about to explode nationwide with a record deal. And he and his brothers were driving one day, and they came to an intersection, and they stopped. And they said, where are we going? What is this going to do to us? Now, today, had they followed that record career, we may name Bowman Brothers along with Buddy Holly and some of the earlier rock and roll people. We may know them for being rich and famous. But Dee and his brothers are better known by the people of God as being incredible preachers of God's word. That's putting God first in your life. It's not about just what can get me rich and famous. What can I do for myself? What can I do for the kingdom? Here's a group of guys that had all kinds of singing ability, but they realized the direction we're going right now will probably take us away from the Lord, not to him. And they made a decision.
I'd really encourage our listeners to view this as kind of a pit stop here in the middle of the week. It's been a few days since Sunday. For those of us who heard the lesson in person, hopefully it's a good reminder, a refresher. But even if you haven't, here are three basic ways you can be a blessing to the people around you today. Show them that your faith is real. And it's important to you. Show them, show your family, lead the way in showing that fellowship is important to you. And most of all, Roger, as you've illustrated for us in a variety of valuable different ways, our Father is most important of all. A good checkup here for the middle of the week. Again, it was a great sermon. If you haven't had the opportunity to watch or to listen, it's freely available at charlestownroad.org, The Manasseh Mistake. We're looking forward, as I mentioned, this evening, 7 o'clock p.m., to Bible classes. Roger, you're preaching, or I should say teaching, leading an adult class in the auditorium. What do you have queued up for tonight?
We're studying the book of Ezra this final quarter of the year. So we'll be in chapter 2. We just started the book of Ezra last week. And so this week takes us to chapter 2. It's a long chapter with lots of names and how easy it is to think, well, there's nothing here, but come and you'll be surprised. There's all kinds of things there, and we're going to talk about them.
Absolutely. On our building blocks track of studies, we've been exploring this month what is idolatry. And on Wednesday nights, we're looking at a few very relevant ancient idols, but very current, relevant idols. Lord willing, this evening, we're going to talk about the idol of approval. Lots of us want approval. We seek validation in the approval of others. How is it that we see today maybe exalting, elevating in our hearts the approval of others, even above God himself? Our younger age groups in the Building Blocks track will be talking about King Jeroboam, another one of these kings that came even before Manasseh, and how he got himself in trouble with a couple of golden calves. There are lots of opportunities to learn. We would love to have you with us this evening at 7 o'clock p.m. If you are out of town or unable to join us in person, you can watch live or after the fact at charlestownroad.org. I've got the privilege of preaching, Lord willing, this coming Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. I want to take us back to the ancient example of Joseph in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, and look at a pivotal moment in this life, in his life, when this young man was tempted. How did he overcome that temptation? We're going to tie it to our theme for the year. We're going to look at the solid foundation we need to overcome temptation. Very relevant, practical lesson, and Joseph, I believe, will be a great example for us to follow. We've got a lot to be excited about, a lot of resources to share, a lot of opportunities in front of us over the course of the next few days. We appreciate you listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We encourage you to take full advantage of these opportunities. Share them with others. We'd love to see you tonight. We're already looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week. We would love to have you come and grow with us.